diehards. Ever since I started this podcast, you know the deal. People are asking me left and right for advice. Who's going to win the game? What player's going to ball out in fantasy? Let me tell you, where you're betting at is just as important as who you're betting on. You should know that already. I always talk about mybookie.ag because they're legit. They've been in the business for years, rock solid rep. It's coming directly from the horse's mouth right here. Fastest payouts in the business, 2 business days. So if you know who's going to win or if you trust my advice, head over to mybookie.ag. They come right back here to the AWOL Sports Podcast. Happy Friday, diehards. We made it through another work week. Thanks for tuning in to the Week 4 Recap, Week 5 Preview. Shall we? Green Bay manhandled the Bears 35-14. Or at least that was the illusion last Thursday night. That may be what you see, and I can't blame you for that. I see 2 huge miscues by Chicago that practically gifted Aaron Rodgers and his offense some points. It happened. Can't take that away from the pack, but I am reading between the lines, digging beneath the surface here. Green Bay is a playoff caliber team that should win their division, but they aren't playing their best football. Granted, they didn't have their bookend tackles last week. They got blown out by Atlanta and needed a comeback effort to beat the Bengals. The Bears tallied more first downs despite those 2 turnovers. The defense was put in a bad spot repeatedly. Take those 2 plays away, but still include the 2 Mike Lennon interceptions, we're looking at a different fourth quarter. Then it's a 14-7 score going into the final frame where both teams scored 7 points. That's 21-14. I see a tough Bears team that did what they had to do at quarterback. After starting 1-3, the Mitch Trubisky era will officially begin, and I agree with the timing. Something is going on with the Saints defense. 1 week they're picking Cam Newton off 3 times and handling the Panthers. Then they go and shut out the Dolphins across the pond. Coming out of a 20-0 performance, we're seeing another rookie running back making some game-changing impact. Alvin Kamara is making it pretty hard to rotate him off the field. Their top target, Michael Thomas, looked like Demaryius Thomas on a screen pass that he took for a first down. I don't have much to say about the Dolphins aside from I liked Ryan Tannehill a lot. I don't like this team being led by Jay Cutler. I would have gone with Colin Kaepernick, but we all know what's going on there. I just don't want a guy, especially at quarterback, that already retired and lined up his next job. We already know who he is. Now you're asking an entire team to follow his lead? There are some bad teams out there, but I'll take heart over this 10-man-led ball club, honestly. And that's coming from an Adam Gase fan, a Jay Ajayi fan, and a Jarvis Landry fan. I have them ranked last in my quarterly rankings, believe it or not. The Jaguars are playing as expected since dropping a game to the Jets 23-20. They have their positive moments on offense, but that side of the ball is still a work in progress. It was great to see them explode in London, but I can't recall the last time they scored so many points, so you knew that wasn't going to be maintained. They used to go through 3 games just to score 40 points. So, I mean, I love the defense, though, which will continue to get better and better. They have some really good players, a nice blend of youth and vets. Meanwhile, the Jets are playing simply with heart. They're probably the least talented team in the league, to be honest. The defense definitely has some building blocks, and that's how they pulled off back-to-back wins. I still think they'll wind up with a top 3 pick in the draft, as they need to focus on offense for a few off seasons. Deshaun Watson erupted, leading the Texans to a dominating 57-14 victory over the rival Titans. How about that? Over a Titans team that many believe are playoff bound. Yeah, Marcus Mariota didn't get to finish, but that's not the reason they got blown out. It was happening while he was on the field. I don't see what everyone sees in the Titans. They can run the ball, but you can't sell me on anything else about them being above average. That includes Mariota. For where I see him listed in QB rankings and where this team is listed in power rankings, they're the most overrated. They couldn't hang with the Raiders who made the playoffs a year ago, and they got punched in the mouth by a division foe. Houston should be ecstatic at Watson's performance. Actually, dating back to the previous week as well. This guy won't be replicating that type of 5-touchdown performance too often. It's too difficult. Not even the greats can do that. But he is already the best signal caller that Bill O'Brien has gotten to coach in Houston. Will Fuller's return was huge. He didn't shake loose for a big play. Just, you know, 2-touchdown receptions. You keep counting this team out. I'll keep shedding a light on their division titles and elite defense. I picked them to win their third consecutive AFC South crown, and they're going to. I guess you can say the Steelers made a statement against the Ravens, downing them 26-9. There's still something off about this playoff caliber team, though. It's not the same feeling that they give us every year. When you really think about it, they would lose games to some rebuilding teams such as the Jets, Raiders, and Eagles in recent seasons. That's part of who they are, and they go through these lulls. Thing is, they're going to go as far as Le'Veon Bell will take them, whether it's production or injury related. Antonio Brown's a stud. He's going to get his numbers against any opponent with Big Ben throwing the ball. The defense, they play better with rookie TJ Watt coming off the edge as he missed week 3. So, I mean, it's going to be on Bell and that defense. So, I guess there's nothing different so far, but it is still concerning that they continue to go through these funks. And still pull off a victory, though. Because why? Because the Ravens are kind of floating around offensively, not even getting by. They're so anemic and arguably the worst offense in football. They lost Pro Bowl guard Marshall Yanda. You would think the speedy receivers can get behind the secondary for some bombs from Joe Flacco's big arm. Instead, it's their stout defense that gets caught in no man's land without much scoring support. They aren't going anywhere this season. Sticking in the AFC North, the Bengals got their first win 31-7 over the rival Browns. Just what the doc ordered, a game against Cleveland. Sure, Cincinnati had Green Bay on the ropes before looking like they did in the first 3 weeks, and they lost. Bill Lazor might be their answer at offensive coordinator, but we're at the point to where they need to figure out who their answer is at head coach. They're talented, undisciplined, and underachieving. The Browns' rebuild is trending in the right direction. You may not see it now, but that O-line and defense will be coming together. I don't know if it will show in the second half of the season, but I think they have a promising future with DeShone Kizer getting the necessary snaps and hard-earned lessons. It is what it is at the helm for Cleveland. 14-7, the Lions got the better of the rival Vikings. I can't say they've been impressive, however. They stormed back against a Cardinals team that lost Pro Bowl running back David Johnson. They took care of the lifeless Giants where Odell Beckham was on one leg. They found another way to suffer heartbreaking defeat against the Falcons. Yeah, they're the defending NFC champs, but I can't tell you that the Falcons have played more than one good game so far either. The same can be said for Detroit. Beating Minnesota without Sam Bradford, Dalvin Cook got injured. The Lions are benefiting from some luck in all three wins. Minnie's defense has been doing whatever it can. You can only hold up for so long with a backup quarterback. It's not going to be easy without their running back in Cook, but I guess they still have hope as Bradford and Latavius Murray are expected to play within the next few weeks. This is a tough team that could withstand a major blow if they can steal one of the next couple of games with some backups. The Rams outscored the Cowboys 35-30. Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, and Sammy Watkins are all happy to be playing for offensive-minded coaches for the first time in their careers. The defense has been good for years. They're still adapting from a 4-3 to Wade Phillips' 3-4 defense. But even if they're a year away, in your mind, they're already making noise this season, and they're going to be a tough out. We all know that Dallas isn't built to play from behind. They're not a passing team, and the defense is vulnerable up front and in the back. The linebackers are good. DeMarcus Lawrence has had a blazing hot month to start the year, but defenses are catching on to their short game offensively. They call running plays, their quarterback uses his legs, the receivers aren't that fast, and they don't gain much separation. Dak Prescott is good as a decision maker, making heady decisions, you know, with his legs, with his arm. But this team relies on Zeke and the O-line to control the clock to keep their own defense off the field. How about the Bills winning 23-17 in Atlanta? I told you the Falcons haven't played well, as their 3-1 record indicates. Julio Jones got hurt. I don't think Mohamed Sanu's injury was much of an impact. I see Matt Ryan, a QB coming off a career year. I see that he had to work without last year's offensive coordinator and his best receiver for a portion of the game. He hasn't been a guy to elevate his supporting cast. He's been a guy to smartly take advantage of the play action, kind of like Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott in recent seasons. The defense doesn't jump out at me. Although they're fast, they are absolutely hurting without Vic Beasley. Good thing he'll return in the next couple of weeks. Buffalo took care of the rival Jets, upset the Broncos, lost a slugfest against Carolina, and just won in the ATL. Not a bad start. Shady McCoy is still a stud. Tyrod Taylor, he isn't throwing much, but he's taking care of the ball like he's asked to do. The defense under Sean McDermott is playing at a very high level. We just didn't see when Rex Ryan was there. Early, but the Bills know they want to pound the ball and hit the other teams for four physical quarters. They know who they are. I don't think they hang on to the AFC East lead, but Buffalo will remain in the playoff hunt this winter. Philadelphia practically played a home game against the Chargers. That Los Angeles move, I did win a bet for predicting that in 2007 when it wasn't even a topic yet, but this new beginning doesn't look pretty. Philly edged them out 26-24, a fourth consecutive loss for the Bolts that have been in every single one of those games. Melvin Gordon doesn't look right, and he's not really getting the touches that the offense needs him to get. Then again, the front office hasn't helped the team because they settle for patching up a poor O-line. They have playmakers on both sides of the ball. Rivers just showed you that he could put up 24 points with only 20 minutes time of possession. Why not devote the next draft and entire offseason to bringing in new and improved big fellas up front? The Eagles, on the other hand, they've won by throwing the ball over 40 times, running the ball over 40 times, and are forcing every opponent to game plan three-step drops. The offense has the pieces, if they can all gel as the season progresses, to be complete on offense, it's going to be hard to stop. Carson Wentz is leading long drives. LeGarrette Blount is shedding tackles to move the chains, wearing defenses down. Alshon Jeffrey is making key red zone catches. Tight end Zach Ertz, one of the leading receivers in football. The defense will get a boost when they get their secondary players back. And Fletcher Cox, he returns in the next week or two. From a no-name cornerback position, the Birds could have a strong group of five when guys like Ronald Darby and possibly second-rounder Sidney Jones, when they get activated. There was nothing impressive about the Cardinals' 18-15 overtime win over the 49ers. Carson Palmer, who keeps flirting with retirement every offseason, that's not a guy I want to take snaps as my starter. David Johnson hurt his wrist and will miss half the season. We all know that. It's great to watch Larry Fitzgerald still do his thing. Future Hall of Famer for sure. The defense should be better. Perhaps the morale keeps dropping because of the lackluster offense. Who knows? Maybe Bruce Arians should be sitting on the hot seat. San Francisco is rebuilding, and that's evident. What's also evident is the effort that they play with under Kyle Shanahan. I haven't seen them take that much pride since Jim Harbaugh was there, and there were two coaches in between then and now. The defense is young. They'll continue to grow as a unit and follow Navarro Bowman's leadership, which is great. The offense is seeing a rejuvenated Carlos Hyde and a competitive Pierre Garçon. Brian Hoyer is being paid to get this team through a season, and that's not an easy job, despite the good amount of money. The Giants are a surprising 0-4 after losing to the Buccaneers 25-23. So close, yet no cigar. Odell Beckham, elite secondary, passing targets would probably play better if the franchise actually gave a F about the O-line in New York. It's holding all of their possible success back. This team doesn't look like it won 11 games and made the playoffs. We know who Eli Manning is. He gets rattled easily. He won't extend plays. He needs the best blocking and a respectable rushing attack. He doesn't have any of those things right now and probably looks closer to retirement than he really is. He's around league average, but he's still capable of winning if the Giants can bring in some blockers in the offseason. Tampa Bay, they looked explosive, and that's without much contributions from their new toy, DeSean Jackson. Just wait until his timing with Jameis Winston gets on point. They're 2-1 with Doug Martin returning from suspension. That's going to give them the balanced offense every team strives for, really. I think the Bucs defense can be better than they've played. They have vets and some young players that are good that can make a collective impact. They can really counter the offense in a way that will keep them in playoff contention and pick up wins. I think Winston has to be more consistent, which puts him under the spotlight, with D-Jax and Martin salivating to contribute even more. 16-10, the Broncos break the Raiders' car down, if you know what I mean, and showed Amari Cooper what the no-fly zone was all about. Those DBs are among the best, probably the only unit better than the Giants have. Von Miller notched another sack, this defense is smothering, and they're going to keep winning as long as C.J. Anderson is being productive, simple as that. Trevor Siemian is plenty capable with good wideouts, I don't want to hear anything about him. The Raiders lost Derek Carr for a few weeks to a back injury, obviously not the news they wanted to hear. This comes a week after the O-line played a very suspect performance in a primetime loss against the Redskins. On the surface, you won't entertain the O-line throwing the game for political reasons. I'm just saying that I kind of buy it. There's a difference from having an off night, from getting dominated, but who really knows? Can you believe the rumors that will swirl about betting and throwing games once they play in Las Vegas? As for some positivity there, Khalil Mack got to the quarterback twice last week, bringing his sack total to 4 in the first month of play. Ravens, Chargers, and Chiefs are on deck to play against EJ Manuel. Those games are winnable. Expect more from Marshawn Lynch, and maybe a blessing in disguise for the Silver and Black to get him more touches, and the offense more balance when Carr comes back. I got excited for Jacoby Brissett and the Colts, up 15-10 at the half, in Seattle of all stadiums. They saw that evaporate quickly and lost 46-18, but I like the fight. They came with it in the early going. The Colts are showing a lot of heart. I think Indy might have a trade chip in Brissett once Luck makes his season debut, or I'd wait for the offseason because I think some team will offer up a draft pick or two for Brissett. They're not the most competitive team, but understand what a franchise QB and franchise leader does to everybody else. We've seen Peyton Manning and Drew Brees rally the troops for Super Bowls. Something Luck did, well, not quite the Super Bowl, but en route to an AFC title game. Just a few years ago. Luck is still good. He's just been hurt. It happens. Seattle did, in the second half, what they should have done since the opening kickoff. Outscoring the Colts 36-3 in the second half, the Hawks get two passing TDs from Russell Wilson. The defense forces a fumble that they return to the house, and that was all she wrote. At 2-2, they look mediocre. Their second half performance looked like the previously dominant Seahawks team, but again, it was against the Colts and a backup quarterback. The offense is a liability on this team. They scored 3 field goals in the loss to Green Bay, 4 field goals in a win against San Fran, got outscored by Tennessee. They have to feel good after scoring 39 of the 46 points. Kansas City remains the only undefeated team after the first month at 4-0. They trailed 10-0 against the Redskins after the first quarter. They proceeded to win the final 3 quarters, finishing the game with a fumble return touchdown due to a desperation hook and ladder. That final score actually ruined things for a lot of bettors on the point total. The Chiefs have gotten over 100 yards of offense from rookie Kareem Hunt in every game up to this point. Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill are consistently making plays. Alex Smith has, in a way, been forced to add some downfield throws to his game, and it's taken this offense to another level. Heck, it's tough to defend against a shovel pass. That defense has been leading this team for years. This is surely their best offense, and this is currently the best team without question. The Redskins lost several defenders in the loss. This team came out, punched the undefeated team in the mouth on their turf, turned into a back-and-forth affair. It was exciting. The Skins beat the Rams and the Raiders. Those are impressive wins. Losing in KC and to the rival Eagles, as we're finding out, there's no shame in that. But it does give us a clear picture of where they rank. I'd say, depending on personal preference, anywhere between 8 through 13. Kirk Cousins is a fighter. The offense around him is pretty raw. I think they're playing the way they're supposed to, though, right now. The secondary mans you up and tries to pressure the pocket collectively. It's a tough matchup for opponents, and this is why they stay in games. They know who they are. They muck things up, and you just got to deal with it. You know, it's just one of those days. It's like a Wednesday at work. All right, week 5 already. Look at week 5. Thursday night football, Patriots at Buccaneers. The Patriots vulnerable on defense. Buccaneers get Doug Martin back. You would expect a shootout. Well, I know I didn't get this out in time. I did have the Patriots winning the game. I thought it would be more of a 28-24 type of game. It was as close as that finish would be. 19-14 final score. Pats get a stop to end the game. I mean, nothing's pretty about the Patriots. Concerning? Sure, from the outside in, maybe as a fan, but I mean, they trust who they are. For the Buccaneers, it was a tough game. Doug Martin came back, he made a good impact. Deshaun finally got on the map. 100-yard day, could have been bigger had Jameis Winston been able to hit him deep on probably like a 48-50-yard score. Patriots, they held on for the victory. Their kicker made field goals. The Buccaneers kicker missed 3. That's an important position. Kickers are football players too. As for a preview of Sunday and Monday, the Falcons 3-1 on a bye week. Broncos also 3-1 on a bye. The Saints and Redskins both 2-2, also on bye weeks. On Sunday, the 49ers at the Colts. It's a winnable game for both teams. I like Brissett from what I've seen so far. Both have played hard. But I am going to say the 49ers pull off the upset. I like Kyle Shanahan better. I think Brian Hoyer might make less mistakes. I know Jacoby Brissett might make more plays. But he's still super raw. Even though I like him. And Carlos Hyde has been playing well. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the Niners. Their front seven's young. And at least they're healthy right now. They're better than the Colts defense. Give me San Fran. Jets at Browns. Jets coming off 2 straight wins. But this is a winnable game for the Browns. It is. And, you know, conventional wisdom has the Jets on a roll. I'm going to pick the Browns. I'm going to pick the upset here. I think DeShone Kizer, he's, you know, the struggle's still going to continue. I'm not impressed with anything on their offense, but their O-line is good going up against a good D-line. And the Browns' defense, I think it's respectable. It's respectable enough to get this victory at home in the dog pound. Jaguars at Steelers. The Jags' revamped defense looks good. The Steelers finally got Le'Veon Bell going last week. And their defense is going against Blake Bortles. And that's the definite edge in the in this whole game here. But they must contain Leonard Fournette. Yeah. Game is in Pittsburgh. You got the Killer Bees. They put a number on the Ravens last week. But you know who put a number on the Ravens even worse the week before? The Jaguars. I'm going to pick another upset. I'm going with Jacksonville, even though they're on the road, even though it's not a great thing to rely on Blake Bortles. I'm just relying on Fournette and that defense. I don't like how the Steelers are playing right now. Should they win? Of course. We all know that. But I'm going to take my shot here. Jacksonville. Chargers at Giants. The 0-4 Bowl. Two teams that had media putting them in the postseason. Chargers have played better football, I think. Both have made a ton of mistakes. Nowhere feels like home for the Chargers, but it'll be easier to accept when they're on the road like they are this week. The Giants just seem like a ticking time bomb, reeking of more desperation. I like the Chargers corner and Casey Hayward a lot. They got Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram collapsing the pocket, plus Melvin Gordon. He better get more touches. I think he will. They're going to need a monster performance, and I'm talking about New York here, from Odell Beckham. Is he capable of that? Of course. But I got the Chargers picking up their first win, leaving the Giants winless. Bills at Bengals. The Bills look better. The Bengals have shown signs of life in recent weeks. Winnable game for both teams. I don't know what it is, but you know what? I like the environment that new coach in Buffalo, Sean McDermott, has created and has brought this team together. I don't know if the Bengals are together. I know they're at home this week, but I'm going to go with the Bills. Shady McCoy, moving them chains. That defense, playing at a high level. Panthers at Lions. Carolina got up to play the Patriots. Kind of a Super Bowl rematch when you really think about it. And from a few years ago. And, you know, more to it than that, doesn't everyone get up to play the Patriots? The Lions don't have an appealing defense, yet they lead the league in turnovers. They have heart, but not more talent than other teams. At some point, that's going to catch up. The Panthers should be able to carry over their offensive success, though. The defense still rakes in the upper echelon, despite not forcing a turnover in the past three games. Detroit can't help but to trail and play from behind, though, it seems. I think that backfires this week. Panthers, even though I have my doubts, and I do, I see them advancing to 4-1. Titans at Dolphins, a pair of teams that I don't like too much. The Titans are better on both sides of the ball. Plus, they got embarrassed 57-14 to their rivals. They're pissed off. The Dolphins have a chance for sure. This isn't a lock here. I just don't like a lot of the things going on in Miami. So I'm picking the Titans on the road. I'm picking a lot of road teams here. But that's where it stops in these next two games, as you'll see. Cardinals at Eagles. Philly struggles against teams that play man-to-man, which Arizona will do. But they found a way to beat Washington. This game is about the Eagles' rushing game in the O-line. Wentz, he extends plays. We all know that. And their pass rush, we all know about them. It might be a back-and-forth game, but one that I think Philly pulls out in the end. Just like they did last week. Ravens at Raiders. Let's see. An unwatchable Ravens offense or an E.J. Manuel-led offense? I don't think the Raiders can stop many offenses, but they actually have a chance this week. This should be the game that they feed Marshawn Lynch for a season high in carries. That's what they're going to need in Carr's absence. Baltimore should be declared the favorite to win with their starting quarterback. I just don't advise betting on this game. I'll play it cautious and go with the Ravens. Man, never mind. They're a healthier team. Meaning, you know, Derek Carr's hurt. I'm not confident in this pick, but I'm going with the silver and black. Khalil Mack's going to make plays. I'm not impressed with the Ravens' offense. I think Beast Mode gets going. And the Raiders have more playmakers on offense to even win the game with a backup quarterback. Seahawks at Rams. The Rams need this game more than the Seahawks do. I don't care what the records say. It's a statement game within the NFC West. This will go a long way for the young Rams for when they go to Seattle later in the season. They've had a good recent history against them. I get it. The LA offense, though, against Seattle's defense, very interesting matchup there. The Hawks are vulnerable this season, more so on the road like they've been in recent years. This game relies on Russell Wilson's ability to lead scoring drives against the defense that has yet to adjust to their new scheme. I think everyone is overlooking that. The Rams have clearly played better football. I'm picking the Seahawks. They've been the big brother of the division, the bullies. I think they're going to take advantage of the Rams' defense right now. Packers at Cowboys. I'm not sure how they didn't schedule this game for Sunday or Monday night, But anyway, two NFC playoff teams from last season. If you recall, the Packers knocked them out of the postseason 34-31. Exciting game there. Last season, Dallas downed them, like I said, regular season, 30-16. Both are going through their respective struggles. You know the deal. Can the Packers contain Ezekiel Elliott? Can the Cowboys contain Aaron Rodgers? Dallas can milk the clock like they do, finish drives, and keep A-Rod on the sidelines. The Packers have to do everything they can to establish some form of ground production. And I think they'll get some. It's nice to go against that Dallas defense. So, an uphill battle for a team to play without their bookend tackles, who are both in question for Green Bay. Yeah, it is an uphill battle. I want to say Rodgers can get the job done, though, against the weak defense. I can't say it with a straight face, not without hesitation at least. Dallas has a recipe for success against an elite quarterback, I understand. They're getting D lineman David Irving back, DeMarcus Lawrence leading the league in sacks. Green Bay missing too many starters. The pick should be Dallas. I'm just going Aaron Rodgers here. I think he can manipulate the Cowboys' defense for some ball control before finishing the drives. Sunday Night Football, Chiefs at Texans. None of us expect Deshaun Watson and the Texans to repeat last week's 57-point effort, especially not against the best team in football, the only one that's been undefeated. I wonder if Watson can take care of the ball to keep the field position battle honest. It's an interesting matchup, one that favors the visiting Chiefs, of course, but I think this will be a tougher game than you think. This will be the best defense that KC will face up to this point. I can't trust Houston's offense just yet. You know I like them a lot, but I do expect a defensive touchdown in this game. Where am I going to go? Where, oh where? Chiefs, they look great on both sides of the ball going against a rookie quarterback. Yeah. I'm going to stick with the team that's been playing in primetime games against some of the, you know, better teams in football. I'm going Kansas City, even though I don't want to. Monday Night Football, Vikings at Bears. Mike Zimmer's defenses, 8-7 against rookie quarterbacks. Mitch Trubisky makes his career debut in prime time. I think both defenses are tough. The offensive edge, surprisingly, goes to the Bears. They have the backfield duo of Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen, while Minnesota is without Dalvin Cook for the year, and Latavius Murray has yet to lace up. With Sam Bradford still sidelined on top of that, I'm rolling with the Bears in an upset. Alrighty, diehards, enjoy the weekend, enjoy football. I'm out.